Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. And as we do every Friday morning at 7 o'clock, we welcome in our good friend, Jared Stillman, to the program. Jared, good morning. How are you?
I'm super. How are you guys?
Super as well. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Before we get into the Titans, I do want to get your thoughts on the hockey team. They're 0-4. They lose last night to Edmonton. They do still have 78 games remaining. How concerned are you by the start for the Nashville Predators?
I mean, I don't like it. I mean, I hate to say it, but I don't like it. I mean, it's not something I anticipated. You know, I did not expect them to win yesterday because they never beat Edmonton when they play at home. And so I wasn't super surprised about it, and I wasn't totally upset with the way they played. You know, I mean, I made it a point last night not to socialize during the second period because my seats are by the goal that Edmonton shoots at in the second period, and I wanted to watch Edmonton, you know, shoot at that goal McDavid had last night was unbelievable. That's going to happen.
He's just stupid good.
I mean, it's going to happen when you play Edmonton, especially when you play them in the building. The fact that it wasn't 8-1 was probably a good sign from what we're used to. That being said, they're 0-4. And it just doesn't seem like the Predators have a lot of – they just don't seem to have a lot of pop right now. You know, it's like I'm watching the power play, and there's too much passing, not enough movement, not enough – like, then they connect on a pass, but it's not totally crisp. So then, you know, Stamkos or whoever has to adjust to it on the tape, and now all of a sudden the opportunity to score is gone. So I think they're kind of sluggish. Again, it's 0-4, but I am worried if they don't win Saturday and then the Bruins come in here Tuesday, they could be 0-6, and then you've got real problems. So I don't like it. I don't like it. And I do wonder if maybe there needs to be a call-up and, you know, maybe a little bit of a change in the room or just something, but it's not a good start.
I feel like you're way too measured on the Preds. I think you should keep the same energy as you have with the Titans, which is fire everyone.
Well, if the Predators were awful last year and the Predators were a third into the season, then we'd be having this discussion. I mean, if the Predators had a goalie that had a save percentage of 757, then we'd be having another conversation. And right now, that's what the Titans quarterback is. So I don't think the two are comparable, but the text line loves to do this. The text line, or excuse me, the YouTube chat, because the YouTube chat is as reckless as it gets. Even more so than the text line. But the YouTube chat during my show loves to say, you don't criticize Barry Trotz and the Predators the way that you criticize the Titans.
And I'm like,
yeah, because Barry Trotz wins and Barry Trotz is accountable. Well, right now, you know, Barry's going to be on the show on Tuesday. Well, for their sake, they get a win on Saturday. But it's not like we're going to sit down with Barry and say, you know, it's a good thing that you're 0-4. Because that's what Brian Callahan would do, the way that he's been handling some of the things that are clearly not good with the Titans. So I don't think they're comparable, and I'd like to say that, because if the Predators bomb this year, then it is going to be a big deal around here. It is going to be a problem. And Barry's going to be facing a lot of heat, because with the way the contracts are signed, if they bomb, and I don't think they're going to, but if they do, then there's really not a lot of wiggling out of this. So that's going to be a problem. You know, at least with the Titans, they know, hey, we get rid of the quarterback, it'll all be okay. But with the Predators, they don't have that. So, again, nobody gets in trouble for something they haven't done, and I don't think the Predators are going to be bad, but the Predators are not comparable to the Titans, at least not yet.
So we gave our percentages the other day, me, Rex Road, and Kuharski, of the chances that Carthon and or Brinker could be fired at the end of the year. I think Rexo was at 3, Kuharski was at 6, and I was at 25. Where is your percentage right now if things continue on this path?
94.
I think it's more likely than not that Rand gets fired at the end of the year. Chad Brinker becomes the guy that everybody then knows is in charge of the football operations, because I think that is kind of what Amy wants, and she just didn't do it because after last year, because she didn't want to fire Rand after one season. And so, again, maybe that's a tinfoil hat conspiracy theory, Joe. I don't know, but I think that's probably more likely.
You have so many.
I think the Titans, I mean, I think the guys that run the Titans don't have a clue. And that includes Brinker, and that includes Carthon. And, I mean, even yesterday, the John Glennon tweet got me triggered when I saw that, oh, by the way, Elijah Molden, who they felt comfortable trading because they had signed Jamal Adams and Quandre Diggs, Elijah Molden has two interceptions and a forced fumble and two pass breakups and is now starting for the Chargers. And I'm like, how does this happen? How does every single player that leave the Titans go somewhere else and play better? From the best player on the team, Derrick Henry, who's gone to the Ravens and has played better than he was playing with the Titans, or the worst player on the team, Malik Willis, who has gone from the Titans and has played better than he ever played with the Titans in Green Bay. How does this keep happening? Like, and so, you know, between that and the fact that, again, I mean, they're staring 1-6 in the face and they're trying to sell PSLs. I mean, I don't think Amy can just say, hey, we knew this year was going to be a rebuilding year when it wasn't. But ultimately, I think what she's been doing and what I think she's going to continue to do until they completely reset the whole thing, which they should have done after last year, is it's going to keep being one person every year. And you're going to keep having these disjointed relationships between coach and GM and quarterback. And I don't think that's conducive for success, but that's their business. So that's probably what they'll do this year.
So, okay. So you think, so fire Rand, keep Chad. So do you think that Rand is doing things that are like outside of what Chad wants? Like, is Rand going rogue? Is that what you think is happening? I'm just fascinated by this. No? Okay.
No, I'm talking about what Amy's going to do.
Well, I understand, but I mean, I agree with you on the idea of continuing to, like, okay, you're with him and now we're going to take this and now we're going to, like, you shouldn't do that. You should either at this point move on from an entire thing or it, like in my estimation, maybe give them more than 5 minutes to do their job. You know, this team that everybody thought was going to stink stinks, and so now you think they should be fired. But I'm just trying
they
to figure out
they were
why.
Stink.
But see, you say that, but I like when were they out there telling everybody we are going to be great this year? I mean, of course they're like, we want to be competitive. They went out and signed players, but like,
have you heard the sunshine pump video?
I did hear the sunshine pump video, but in that video, I did not hear these promises that this was a playoff team. I mean,
well,
it was like,
does
well,
that
yeah,
in
this...
the NFL.
Well, okay,
like,
but
that's
Reed's
not going to promise
they're
going to make the playoffs, Joe. Every coach knows you don't go in there and say, we're going to win 10 games this year. Nobody does that. But Brian Callahan sitting down on the bus being like, look, we're not in the prediction business, guys. And this is why coaches don't say things like this, because he says something, you know, that's 85% of that, and here we are still talking about it. But he's sitting down with Taylor Lewan saying, you know, hey, I think we're going to be pretty good, and I think we've made a lot of good additions, and I think that we've, you know, Will Levis is great, and that's why I took the job, and so I think we're going to be pretty good this year. And the answer to that is no.
Oh, my God,
what
a crime.
Rand Carthon saying,
fire everyone. It's a crime.
So Rand Carthon, well, I mean, again, you're saying that the Titans didn't sit there and dog whistle to everybody that they were going to be competitive this year, and they did.
Dog whistle.
I mean, they simply did. Rand Carthon, on a SiriusXM interview, which he did while practice was going on, which is another thing that is beyond me, but Rand Carthon said, we got everything on our wish list from the number one starter to the farthest backup when talking about the offense. And so the projection from the Titans was, hey, we spent all this money, which I think it's overblown. They're 22nd in payroll. But we spent all this money, fans. We're going to be good this year. We're going to compete this year. And they simply have not done that. And if you're rebuilding, which is what everyone's going to say now, is, well, we knew this was a rebuild, which is not true. But if you say that, well, then why are you trading third-round picks for L'Jarius Sneed if you're rebuilding? So, again,
I'm not saying that.
I think it's all a farce. And I think that ultimately the reason why Rand's going to be the one that ends up biting the bullet on this is because I think Amy kind of wanted to get rid of Rand after last year. That's why they essentially demoted him by putting Chad above him while they technically promoted him. And now Kaharski's all, you know, all over the Chad Brinker praise all the time.
Wow. Is that a shot at Kaharski? I like it. We need more of that on the program here.
So you're saying Kaharski's a Brinker homer now?
We're not allowed. Oh, yeah. We're not allowed to blame. So he said we're not allowed to blame Chad Brinker at all because nobody knows what Chad Brinker does. Nobody knows who reports to who. Nobody knows. And this just happened to come right after his 45-minute sit-down with Brinker on analytics.
Oh, boy.
And Kaharski,
Inspector Jared on the case.
Thank goodness. There's two things about Kaharski on this. Number one, when Diana Russini said, see, Joe called me a tinfoil hattist for saying that Chad Brinker was in charge of the Titans. Then Diana Russini reported that Chad Brinker was in charge of the Titans. And Joe was like, well, if Diana says it, it must be true. Even though
you make up so many things. You make up so many things.
Your
that
tone
I didn't
on the Chad Brinker Rand Carthon situation completely changed as
Jared.
Soon as Diana Russini said that, and you know it.
You're just a liar. I mean, seriously.
What am I lying about?
That is not true. It's just like yesterday when you said on the air, and I'm like, "What are you? What did you say? I said,
hold on, Robbie. I want you in on this. Hold on, Joe." Robbie, yeah, I want you in on this because Joe yesterday fired off some just angry text messages to the point that Ian said to me, because it was to both Ian and I, Ian goes, Joe's mad about something because they were so long of texts that Ian didn't even bother to read it.
I need Ian to, you know, to like, I know you're not going to be honest about this stuff, so that's why I need Ian to be the adult in the room.
So here's what, so in Jared versus Joe, Joe was asked the question, we were asked the question, who is the better GM, John Robinson or Rand Carthon, Chad Brinker, whatever?
Right.
And Joe said John Robinson, which is the correct answer, by the way.
Yes.
Joe said John Robinson. But then I said, so Joe even said in the same time that John Robinson is better than Rand Carthon and crew, but Joe says Amy can't fire.
The question
fire
was, who would you pick to be your GM?
Okay, whatever. And so.
Yeah, we don't need facts.
Joe, I mean, the semantics there, Joe, the hair splitting is ridiculous.
Sure.
Come on now. So
what are we getting to here?
Joe then said in the same breath that Amy can't fire the GM or the crew or whatever because it would look so bad if she did it. So now we have to go let them use the number one pick on the next quarterback. And
that's why she
crazy.
Won't do it, Jared. This is where you lied. No, I think that she's less likely to do it because of how it looks. That's not why she shouldn't do it. She shouldn't do it because you're supposed to do your homework when you hire a front office.
And well,
you're
she
supposed
didn't.
To have an idea of what they do. Oh, okay, you know that. And so if you believe in what they're doing on a daily basis and you see their vision, then no, you don't fire them after a year together. That's why.
I mean, I would assume that you don't fire coaches who get you to the playoffs for the first time in a decade and win a playoff game for the first time in 15 years.
Sure, that's fine.
But that doesn't work in Titan land.
No, let's all the wrongs making a right. That's Jared's plan. Let's keep doing all the wrongs.
Well,
right?
But everything you guys are talking about right now is why I think the percentage chances that you and Kaharski threw out the other day are just wildly too low when it comes to anything this franchise does.
Yeah. You may be right. I mean, last year it was zero. I had 0% on him being fired, so maybe I'm wrong. But Jared's still lying about what I said.
That's not true. Robbie, you've been a part of this the whole week.
He keeps saying you lie.
Joe, you've said it since the day I said at the end of last or in the middle of last year, like around Thanksgiving. I said, if I own the team on Black Monday, I'm firing everybody. We're starting over. We're getting an experienced general manager. He's going to pick his coach. He decides what we do at quarterback. And you said they would be so stupid to fire a GM after 1 year. And now you're saying if Amy fires them, they'll be so stupid. You're pre-finger wagging the idea of firing the general manager. And now because you realize how stupid it is after you said that John Robinson was better than these guys, now you're walking your comments back.
I mean, that is one of the worst concoctions of word salad I've ever heard. Get
Robbie,
out of here.
You've been doing this all week with here. Joe talking
Seriously,
about this.
I'm done with you. I'm done with you.
With 3% Joe out, or 6% Joe, whichever one he was.
He's
3% Joe. With three, you've been doing this with 3% Joe. Has Joe not been pre-shaming Amy about firing the GM if that's what it comes to?
It would be embarrassing.
Yeah.
Thank you, Robbie.
Absolutely.
Yep. Thank you.
But again,
thank you, Jared.
But it's not what you said. So get out of here. God.
That's exactly what I said.
No, it is not. Just bye.
Okay.
We'll talk to you later, Jared. We'll see you later. All righty. Jared Stillman, our guest, joins us every Friday morning at 7 o'clock. We will get into the Titans and continue somewhat of this discussion coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. We are broadcasting live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Friday morning. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up at 7:45. TD will be with us at 8. We'll look ahead to the Titans and the Bills coming up with him. Joe, I'm reading the grid right now, and the title is Objectively Assessing This Front Office, Which Jared Can't Do. I'm looking forward to this discussion. Well said by you.
Well, first of all, this is what Jared does, and it's just infuriating, and it's not necessary. And yes, I'm driving, I'm listening to him yesterday, and he says, well, Joe says they shouldn't fire him because it looks bad. And so I actually pulled my car. I want you to know I didn't just text and drive. I pulled my car over and I said, that's not what I said, doofus. And then we went back and forth. And yes, I tagged in again, though. How it looks is why I think that's why I think the percentage is low. Okay. But the reason you don't fire them is because you have done your homework. You do believe in what they're doing. And because it is early. I mean, seriously, Kyle Tucker, man. Kyle Tucker is... I just got to read some Kyle Tucker on my personal text line. First of all, added to the list of things Stillman doesn't know, what a dog whistle is. Also, here's a great headline from Stilly. Titans coach fired after telling Bussin with the boys, we might be pretty good, and then being bad instead in year one. Fire everyone! But a bit, separate the things. It's just, first of all, I don't know if he intentionally lies or if he can't listen, if he has no listening comprehension skills, but that's not what I said at all. Second, yeah, I don't. I really want your opinion on this. I mean, I think my, you know, I've made it pretty clear. I'm not overly impressed. I absolutely disagree that the entire town's going to be like, well, it's just a rebuild. That's not true. They were trying to be competitive. You know, someone on the text line is like, they did lie to us. I'm like, well, listen, I don't think they lied to you about being competitive. It was Sean on the text line. I said they believe they would be good. They thought that for real, that maybe they still think they can be. They didn't think they'd have the worst quarterback play in the NFL through 5 weeks. I mean, there's a lot of things they thought were going to happen based on what they were seeing and the work they were doing, that things that haven't happened.
Yes. Now, to that point, that's why I need to see the way the rest of it plays out too this year, because if it remains this bad, then I think I'm a little bit more open to changes than probably you and Kuharsky are. Like, because the reasoning for that is, and this goes back to a conversation we've had a lot with Charles too. Like, who's responsible for Levis, right? Like, who looked at Levis and said, yeah, that's our guy? Was it Carthon? Was it an ownership-driven pick, as we've discussed with Charles Robinson? And if so, like, what does that all mean? Because I do think, you know, whatever process went into selecting Levis, like, it does make me a little hesitant about them picking the next quarterback. Now, you have Brian Callahan here now, who obviously was not here when Will Levis was selected. So I would hope that if it does come around to selecting another quarterback in the draft, that he's going to be pretty heavily involved in it, right? Like, I mean, he is the offensive guy. He is the guy that's worked with quarterbacks. And I would hope, really, regardless of who is at fault for selecting Levis, if it doesn't end up working out last time, that you lean into Callahan a little bit more this time, given his expertise and the quarterbacks that he's worked with. So maybe it is just as simple as that. But the bottom line is, It is early. It has also been really bad. And a lot of the decisions that they've made have not been good ones. So I need to see how the rest of the year plays out. And I'm not saying that I would absolutely fire them at the end of the year, but I am a little bit more open to that than I think you and Kuharsky are.
Yeah. Well, as far as the Levis thing, if anyone ever tries to sneak out through any reporter that like it was actually Vrabel, now that's when you know someone's desperate and yes, trying to, you know, because that's not it. But I mean, you know, we've talked about the whole thing with like Charles Robinson's reporting and TD's reporting, and they differ on that. I mean, to me, I think Rand, Amy, I mean, I think, you know, there was a, I don't think it was like, I mean, there was more than one person who was on board with it. And I'm not even saying Vrabel was like arguing against it, you know, but I'm just saying, I'm confident in saying it wasn't Vrabel driven. Okay.
Yeah.
However the conversation went with everybody else, I don't know. But yeah, look, they made the choice. I didn't hate the choice where it was in the draft, because obviously everybody thought he was going to be a first round pick. And right now it isn't working out. I mean, even that to me, look, I think every GM should get at least one quarterback. And that's the thing is Robinson really never did get to. He inherited Marcus. Now he made one of the best move he made in his entire tenure was the trade for Tannehill, right? But I also look, I do look at this whole thing and this is all Amy's fault. It's the firing of Robinson in season, all this stuff, and then smashing Rand and Vrabel together and then doing all, like, I look at all that and I say, I think I'd like to see if this setup can work. And I don't agree that every decision has been bad. I mean, even L'Jarius Sneed, he just had a bad week last week and he obviously doesn't practice much. Let's see how the season goes. You know, I mean, I also at times
I agree with that
and said he looks like a pretty good player still. Obviously, Awuzie hasn't been healthy. I mean, you know, I think Murray was actually a pretty good pick. I mean, you can go through these picks, and if you're sitting here and saying every single thing they've done is bad and stupid, then you just want them gone. I don't think that that's a fair, objective way to look at it. And some of these, like the last draft class, obviously isn't working out. Skoronski isn't working out. But again, that was also how much who was that? Who wanted that one? Was that Vrabel? Was that Rand? I don't know. I just, the bottom line is, if you're going to keep doing this, how are you ever going to like have any stability and chance to succeed? I think you have to let something go for a little bit and see how it goes.
I agree with that in general. I guess my question is, how long is a little bit? Like, if it remains this bad this year, this is year two for them. Like, everybody wants to act like this is year one for them. It's not. It's year two for Carthon and Brinker. So, like, how long is long enough? That would be my question.
Yeah. Well, look, in this league, it's not too long. I mean, certainly. Like, I mean, like, next year, look, like Santa here is saying a good number of local journalists and radio talk show hosts told us they were going to be good too. Well, I don't know anybody who picked them to have a winning record this year in media. Do you?
I don't remember everyone.
I mean,
somebody
may
have gone 9-8. I don't know. I mean, I know I had them at 7-10. You had them at 8-9.
Yeah. And so look, I mean,
looks generous right now.
It does. Like I was the sunshine blower at 8-9 and not making the playoffs. So look, I mean, and I, yeah, like, they are definitely worse than I thought they'd be. This happens. You know, I'm sure everybody in Houston last year picked the Texans to also go 5-12 like the rest of the league did, and then they did what they did. I mean, of course, we're always going to be wrong a ton, right? How long is too long? I mean, I think I would give them next year. And look, they have already started. They have spent money. They are trying to be good now. I don't buy into the whole, oh, it's just a rebuild. They're probably going to have to make a quarterback decision, and they're going to need to be competitive next year. And this is where like the trade stuff is interesting, because if you're them, you probably, I don't know that I'd feel comfortable if I were them saying, actually it is a rebuild. Let's load up on the picks. And at that I would not, because I would think that Amy would be like, wait a minute. Now last offseason, we were doing all this stuff to try to win now. And now you're doing that. Now that would be a red flag if I were Amy Adams Strong.
We'll have more on this discussion coming up next. A lot more of your thoughts to get to as well on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Tune in to 102.5, 106.3 The Game tomorrow for Vanderbilt football. Commodores taking on Ball State. Pre-game beginning at 4:30 on 94.9 The Fan. Moving to 102.5 The Game following the Preds game. Vanderbilt football kicking off at 6 o'clock. Coverage also available on the 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up here momentarily, taking your thoughts on the Titans. Rex Road's just laughing coming back in, so I don't know what's happening here.
All right. In fact, I'm going to retweet this right now. This well, first of all, did you see Dalton Kinect score 20 straight points for,
I did see that.
For the Lakers? 35, 20 straight, 35 in a preseason game. But I mean, it's Josiah Johnson, King at King Josiah 54, probably the best follow on Twitter, right? Like a top five follow. Did you see what I just
other
retweeted?
Than you? Yes.
Well, yeah, yeah. If you see what I just retweeted, he's got Dalton Kinect walking into the Lakers rotation. He's got Napoleon Dynamite's older brother from the end of that movie. Oh, God.
Kip, stop eating all the chips.
Napoleon Dynamite's right up Keezer's alley. Keezer is all in to Napoleon Dynamite.
Great, great flick and underrated character. His older brother. Good stuff.
Chet with hot babes online all day.
Keezer knows the whole movie.
Wow.
Wow. How about that?
Good stuff.
I thought that'd be a little bit before your time.
Tis not.
Okay. All right. All right. Taking your thoughts on the Titans front office, 615-737-1025. Look, I mean, again, I'm still largely with you. Like, the idea of them moving on after 2 years with the general manager, after you'd already fired the GM in the middle of the season, then you fired Vrabel and just everything that's gone on. I would like to see some stability for a while around here. Having said that, like, my expectations, and I think the expectations of Titans fans are much higher and should be much higher than what we've seen from this group so far. And look, I know it's been, you know, an off season where, you know, they spent a lot of money, and for a lot of these guys, it's not working out. Like, Ridley's not working out right now. Now, Ridley's a good player. We've seen him be a good player in the league before. Snead has been a good player in the league before. He had a bad week last week. And, you know, with him specifically, I'm still interested to see how the knee continues to hold up both throughout this year and as we move ahead. Because as we've talked about many times, you were the one that decided to go do it and give up the third-round pick. So I think there's still, you know, more information to figure out there. And maybe, you know, they're sitting here watching film together as an offense and going through each passing play. And with more games that go by, maybe it is just as simple as, you know what, we got the quarterback wrong. We had expectations for this quarterback that we thought he could live up to that he just couldn't. And it's time to switch course. And maybe they are equipped to go get the next guy. I'm just saying, like, if I'm Amy Adams Strunk, viewing this situation right now. And this goes back to, it's a similar conversation to what we had last year, right? Like, what were the expectations heading into this year? You know, forget what she says publicly, because they're always going to say, you know, we want to have a competitive team and all these things publicly. Like last year we talked about, you know, they did bring Ryan Tannehill back and they did bring Derrick Henry back. And while they, you know, on one hand were planning for the future with drafting Will Levis, they clearly felt like they could still win last year by bringing all those guys back. And then they didn't. Yes. And Mike Vrabel was fired and he paid the price for it at the end. So I would love to know, like, Amy Adams Strunk, what was her expectation coming into this year? They did go spend a lot of money and they did make a lot of commitments to some veteran players in the league. Did she believe and did they believe that they were legitimate contenders to get back into the playoffs this year? And if they end up being so far away from that, how does that impact the way that she views it? That's what I'm kind of leaving the door open for here.
Yeah. And look, again, like the whole Levis thing, if it's that simple as we continue to move forward to, and it's like, well, the defense, again, I think the defense being number one in the NFL, there's some fool's gold there, obviously, right? But it hasn't been bad. I mean, the defense is playing well enough for this not to be a 1-4 team, right? So if it continues to be as simple as just the guy behind center can't get it done, well, then that's also gets back to like choosing him, because I guess depending on her level of enthusiasm there, I mean, at some point, like, are you holding other people accountable or yourself accountable? And also, speaking of holding her accountable, which of course people can't do because people can't fire owners, All of this losing basically coincided with the ridiculous decision to fire a general manager in the middle of a season, which we said at the time was ridiculous and has never not been ridiculous. I mean, to me, yeah, the free agent signings, those moves, Snead is definitely a big one to track. You know, that, what else are they? Well, Ridley. I mean, Ridley's a huge one, too. I mean, and again, in both cases, I mean, I liked them at the time, right? Now, with some, okay, what is the deal with Snead's knees? But certainly like the Ridley pick. Right now, that's just going terribly. How much of that is just Levis? You know, that's one of the questions. But I still think, ultimately, John Robinson, one horrific trade, and that was the worst move he made. But basically, John Robinson's tenure ended because of his drafting. His drafting, starting with the COVID draft of 2020, nosedived. So let's quickly – well, I think I carry this over to the rant. I think I can carry this over to the rant, what I was going to break down.
Let's quickly go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Chad to the program. Chad, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, just piggybacking kind of on what you're talking about here, I just feel like there's some really mismanagement, really, from the top down. And it's just like, pick a subject, right? I feel like with Levis, you drafted a quarterback in the second round, and then you throw him out there. You know, look at what's going on with Sam Darnold. He got thrown out there so quick, and now 3-4 years later, he's a player. Maybe Will's a player, but you're not going to know in 3 or 4 years. And you got a guy out there now who's not ready to play. It's as clear as day. And it's a quarterback league. If your quarterback can't play, I don't care what the rest of your roster looks like. You're not going to be good. And that's really what's going on. And the coach, I don't think this is the top. I don't think this guy's is ready to coach in the NFL, to be honest with you. The decision, he's an offensive-minded coach, and he's afraid to go for it on fourth down, where every analytics in the country says you go for it. Just across the board, mismanagement. And, I mean, just pick any of those, and I can go all day. So I'll hang up and listen. Your call.
Yep. Thanks for the call, Chad. Appreciate it. I mean, the other part of this, too, though, like, you know, the organizational philosophy on this last year, Joe, they fire Vrabel. And Amy Adams Strunk comes out with her statement. And in part of the statement, she's talking about, you know, we have an exciting young quarterback that we're going to build things around. So clearly she was all in on Levis.
Of course.
Regardless of where that came from. And we've talked about, you know, there is a difference between the way that he played last year and the way that he's played so far this year. But, I mean, it was an organizational thing that they were all in on this guy. And we're 5 games into the next season. And he just looks like a lost cause at this point.
No, look, and that's the thing, right? Like the entire just the obsession of this league, really, of American pro sports, is finding that quarterback. And when you do, it can elevate things beyond what they should be. And you see that in Kansas City, I think, still more than anywhere. And if it's the other side of that, it can destroy a lot of things. And a lot of things can become worse as a result of not getting the thing, getting it right at that position.
We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rexrode.
I mean, like, tough year for Nashville SC. Like, Vanderbilt is Nashville, or Obi-Wan, you're our only hope. I mean, that is one of the worst concoctions of word salad I've ever heard. Get out of here.
Robbie, you've been doing this all week with Joe talking about this.
I'm done with you. I'm done with you.
With 3% Joe or 6% Joe, whichever one he was.
He's
3% Joe. You've been doing this with 3% Joe. Has Joe not been pre-shaming Amy about firing the GM, if that's what it comes to?
It is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode. You can check it out every morning here on the program. Joseph, the floor is yours.
Yeah, so I had a few possibilities today, but one thing I'd like to say real fast. Hey, Stilly, get out of our text line. Don't you text our listeners. You text our listeners when it's your show. Now, granted, to be fair, I do that to him all the time. And for Jared versus Joe, some of his dog butt flea lovers get on there, and I'm just like, all right, I just have to get in there and mix it up with you folks.
Dog butt flea lovers.
All right.
I said that wrong. Oh my God. I don't mean that the lovers of the dog
constantly.
You know what I mean. You know what I mean. But I want to, and I also, I considered today a rant on being the father of my baby daughter who now is going to dances, but I'm just not even going to get into that. Let's go to the draft classes. This is to me, it's not everything because obviously free agent signings are huge too, and those are critical. But when it comes down to it, John Robinson lost his job because this was bad. So let's go through the whole thing and remind everybody what, again, I agree with you. This is year two for Rand Carthon, whatever the role was. And like, I mean, his first draft, you had Ryan Cowden in there and you had Vrabel, and now it's totally different. But still, that's fine. 2 years. It is a 2 year judgment of the front office. So Skoronski, Levis, Tyjae Spears, Josh Wiley, Jalen Duncan, Colton Dowell. I mean, generally, you get to 6 and 7, and to me, it's like gravy if you hit on anything. You know, Spears, I like, and he's a good player. I mean, I know that's another, like Jared, that was another knock on them. Spears, you know, I'm like, well, I mean, he's a pretty good player. He's not a great player. He's the second best back in this team, but I don't hate that pick. And Wiley, I think, is a fine player. It's you know, it's Skoronski and Levis, right, as we've talked about a million times. This draft, J.C. Latham, Tavondre Sweat, Cedric Gray, who, look, it's just, he's been hurt. I mean, I think he's an important thing at some point. Like, is he a player? Can he play? Jarvis Brownlee, that's a fifth-round pick that, I mean, in terms of value, I think right now.
Looks pretty good.
Looks pretty good. Although Latham, and that's the thing, you especially have to hit on your first-round picks. And Latham looks pretty good. Jaquan Jackson. Then you have James Williams and Jalen Harrell. And, you know, look, it's, I mean, during camp, of course, we were talking about Jalen Harrell, and now we don't see him, but those are seventh round picks. That to me, and I'm not saying, well, let's wait until year four and then we'll be able to tell you, but that's the bottom line. And so you talk about timeline, Robbie. To me, obviously, we're going to see how this season goes. I think Snead and Ridley are both very important factors in this discussion, without question. Yep. And then you're going to have a draft class, and in this league, your high picks have to matter. This team obviously isn't very good. They obviously need a lot of help. So that, to me, is the timeline. It's you have to make a quarterback decision probably. So is that next year super high pick you're picking a quarterback? Even if so, look, I mean, fair or not, if a lot of other things that you're doing are not working out, then you may be picking a quarterback for the next guy to take over, just like John Robinson took over Marcus Mariota after 1 year in the NFL. It's unfortunate, but it happens. But that next draft class and how it looks and how they look in this team and all that, to me, that has to be part of the evaluation. Once you get to that, you get to next year, if all these things, all these other things, the other free agent signings of the next offseason, all that stuff, if it's looking bad, then sure. That's how I look at the timeline.
I don't have any problem with anything that you just said there. The one thing that I will say is you bring up John Robinson and, you know, talk about the drafting is ultimately why he got fired. My response to that would be, it's a good point, and I think it makes a lot of sense when you look at it. But she did give him a contract extension a few months before she fired him. So she clearly didn't have that big of a problem with the drafting a few months before she fired him, because she gave him the contract extension, and then he traded A.J. Brown. Like, to me...
Sure.
To me, that's why he got fired. It was the A.J. Brown trade. And it was the timing of when he got fired was 2 days after the Philly game when A.J. Brown lit him up. Right. And they can dance around that all they want. You'll never convince me that A.J. Brown isn't the reason that John Robinson got fired.
Yeah, and I'm not arguing with that. What I'm saying, though, is that the drafting is the biggest reason they went downhill. And the A.J. trade, too. Like, so, for example, so when she gave him the extension at that point, you're still absolutely hoping Caleb Farley's good, right?
Right.
But so there's a lot of things.
I guess
didn't
my point
yet.
Is that she felt one way about it enough to give him a contract extension, and then less than a calendar year later, it changed on a dime. And that's that's who we're dealing with here.
Oh, no question. No, I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, it's that just all over the place decision making is where everything starts for the issues of this franchise.
Yes.
And so to your point, you may be right. Maybe it just continues. I feel pretty confident in saying that Amy Adams Strunk has not enjoyed the criticism she's gotten from some corners of the world.
Probably not.
And that's where I think it will. And I think it's probably a good thing, because I think you have to see some things through. I'm sorry, Stilly, but you can't keep firing people. But maybe it's a bad thing. Maybe this is a terrible front office and it's just delaying the inevitable. But I just think that because of all that has gone on, that she will be hesitant to do it after this year. We'll see. Again, I've been wrong on, certainly wrong, way wrong on Vrabel. Way wrong.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Titans and Bills coming up on Sunday. We'll talk to TD coming next, get his thoughts on all things Titans and that matchup as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.